The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network presents Abolitionist Radio, equipping Christians to abolish human abortion.
You can't buy my silence, you can't steal my voice, you can't keep me quiet, I will bring the noise. Try to beat me down, tell me to shut my mouth, but there's a time to speak, and the time is now.
And welcome back to another week of Abolitionist Radio. We want to end abortion in America today, now.
3,000 a day, the greatest evil of our age is in our hands.
3,000 a day is how many were murdered today and every day this past week. So here we go. Let's get equipped. Let's become doers of the word. Okay, this weekend's Abolitionist Radio, we're going to talk about headlines. And the headline this week around the nation was that Ohio passed a, quote, heartbeat bill. That would be the legislature in Ohio has passed legislation. In fact, what they did was they were already considering and had a very long bill that was a child abuse bill. And for years, the Ohio legislature has attempted to pass a bill regulating abortion based on whether there is a detectable fetal heartbeat. They've been doing that since 2011. However, they got emboldened this year, and the reason they got emboldened was because of the election of Donald Trump. So this heartbeat bill that passed in Ohio this week by the legislature, the House and the Senate, which has not been signed by Governor Kasich yet, and just so you know, I don't expect it to be signed by Kasich. It might be. But the reason I wouldn't expect it to be signed is because Kasich is actually pro-choice. Now, I know people are going to be like, wait a minute, I thought he ran for the Republican nomination, and of course Republicans are pro-life. Well, guess what? Republicans are not really pro-life. They're usually pro-choice at some level, and Kasich supports abortion being legal in the cases of rape and incest.
Of course, the bill itself is pro-choice.
The bill itself is pro-choice because that would be the heartbeat bill, because it doesn't prohibit all abortions. So what it does is it regulates abortion, and it says that as long as you meet certain conditions, you can still murder the baby, or we're going to set an arbitrary line that says from this point forward, you can't murder the baby, and before this point, you can murder the baby.
If you have a baby that bears the image of God but happens to be before a detectable heartbeat, you may murder the baby.
And that's the whole point. And Christian, I know we've been on this radio program for years on this radio station, and I really want you to quit watching Fox News and quit reading your newspapers and quit following Franklin Graham, because there are 5 million people that follow him. And on his Facebook page this week, there were over 130,000 likes and I don't even remember how many shares of this news out of Ohio. And everybody's so excited because, oh, we're finally going to curtail the abortion holocaust because Ohio has boldly put forward this heartbeat bill. Here's the problem. You will never end the abortion holocaust through these methods. It is time to put an end to the pro-life movement. There's only one way. There's only one way to end the abortion holocaust, and that is simply to prohibit abortion as murder. That's what it is. And here's the problem with the Ohio heartbeat bill. It does not conform to God's standard. And the pro-lifers will say, ah, but we're making progress. Well, we're going to talk about how you're not going to make any progress with this bill. And in fact, you are going to set back the end of abortion in America through this ridiculous ongoing legislative activity. First, let's just get to the basics, the heartbeat bill. So remember, God's standard is you can't murder human beings because we are all made in his image. Human beings, not persons, human beings. Genesis 9:6, the first government that God instituted was against murder. Man may not murder man because we're made in the image of God. And government by nature is force. And so the way government exerts its influence, God said in Romans 13, 1 Peter 2, that government has to rightly define good and evil, but that's not where it ends. Then they have to punish evildoers and commend those who do well. And by punishing evildoers, it acts as a restraint against evil. Before the Noahic flood, there was violence that reigned in the land. So one of the reasons that God implemented a law when Noah and his sons got off the boat was because he didn't want violence to reign in the land. So by having a civil government that said, if you kill someone, then by man shall your blood be shed, then what he's doing is he's restraining violence running rampant in the land. Now, this Ohio heartbeat bill does not conform to the law of God. Because rather than saying you can't kill another human being because we're made in the image of God, it basically says that you can't kill a human being if you can detect a heartbeat in that human being. So I'm just going to say and put out there, Christians listening, until we conform to God's standard, we will not have God's blessing. And this is the pragmatic efforts of man, and it will not work because guess who rules this world? Even though God's on the throne and Jesus is at his right hand and Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Satan is the God of this world and sin is prevalent in this world and those who are unrighteous outnumber those who are righteous. And so in a Republican or Democratic form of government, when it comes between a choice of sin or righteousness, then sin is going to win. And righteousness only prevails when it's actually put forth as a standard. And does this heartbeat bill put forward righteousness as a standard?
No, there's no righteousness being put forth as a standard. It's not based on any truth. It's simply arbitrary. Men are simply deciding here, there, or wherever to attempt to restrict abortion. God's hand will never be with us to enable it because we aren't honoring him.
So you've got all these people saying, oh, this is great news. Ohio has put forward this heartbeat bill. Heartbeat bills have been put forward before. So here's the time to rain on the parades of all of the people in the pro-life movement. But I honestly think, well, number one, they've got their hopes on a Supreme Court change. And we're going to talk about that on this program. But I honestly think that they do this, I don't even know what to think.
So haven't we already had heartbeat bills in Arkansas and North Dakota?
Yeah, but so I'm thinking they do this on purpose because maybe they want to perpetuate as a pro-life movement. There are always organizations behind these things like Right to Life organizations. And for decades, like here in Idaho, for decades, there have been the same people that have headed these Right to Life organizations. Like in Idaho, Carrie Uhlenkott of Idaho Right to Life has been basically doing what she does for the, well, I saw her on news items from 1990. So that's 26 years that I know at least that she's been in the position as a lead person in Idaho Right to Life. And she gets a salary and they have an office and they're well respected by legislators. In fact, every legislator I talk to says, well, have you talked to Carrie Uhlenkott? So we know that they have prestige and they have position and they have a salary and probably a retirement plan and all that. And I know, let's just be realistic, listeners, okay? They're not going to give up their position. I mean, they probably really do want to end abortion, but they lack wisdom. They don't know how to do it. They've been trying to do this for years, for decades. And they keep saying, oh, if we just get the right president, then we'll win. No, you're not going to win. And here, now we're going to rain on your parade. Heartbeat bills have been done before in North Dakota and Arkansas. 2013, both of those states had heartbeat bills. They were enjoined almost immediately by federal courts. Let me explain what that means. That means that an injunction on their enforcement was placed the month after the governor signed them into law. So they never took effect. And the enjoyment was by federal district court judges in Arkansas and North Dakota who were Republican appointees. And one of them was appointed by George W. Bush, which in your recent historical memory, everybody would have put George W. Bush forward as this righteous Republican appointee. In fact, most people think he was Christian because he talked about Jesus when he campaigned. But George W. Bush actually supported abortion if a woman was raped or in the cases of incest. That is not righteous. I don't even know that he's a Christian. Now, Donald Trump is no better. And these judges, it wouldn't even matter because these judges think they're lawyers. And the whole problem is that lawyers love the idea. We had Daryl Castle on recently, who seems like a good, righteous man, but they hate the idea that a court's previous opinion called stare precedence. Decisis, mm-hmm. yeah, it's called stare decisis precedent, they depended on it for consistency in legal review. And so if there's no stare decisis, then they worry that every single case is essentially original jurisdiction. It has to go all the way to the top, and every single case has to go all the way to the top to be decided because there's no basis in other cases for how to rule under law consistently. But so when these judges, these federal judges wrote and they said that this case is in heartbeat bills in North Dakota and Arkansas are unconstitutional, they talked entirely about Supreme Court precedent. And they talked about the Supreme Court precedent that said, that talked about viability in Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey, that the baby has to be viable outside of the womb, which is generally seen to be about 24 weeks. And so you cannot get an abortion according to these precedents, or you cannot restrict it before 24 weeks. And if a heartbeat bill is targeting 6 weeks, then if you look at Planned Parenthood versus Casey, you cannot place a substantial obstacle or an undue burden in front of a woman who wants to kill her baby. That's what the Supreme Court precedent says. And all these judges, all Republican appointees, have gone with that. And then the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, Federal Circuit, which rules over both North Dakota and Arkansas, so both of these cases came before the Eighth Circuit, both affirmed the lower court rulings, the district court judges, and said, well, of course, it violates Supreme Court precedent. And then North Dakota paid to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, and when they do that, they're asking for certiorari. What they're asking for is Supreme Court review. And then if a writ of certiorari is granted by the Supreme Court, then what that means is they say, send us all your documents and we'll go ahead and grant a review of this case and issue an opinion. And the Supreme Court denied a writ of certiorari in 2015. That was just last year. This is on a court that we theoretically, then this was when Scalia was still alive. So this was on a court that theoretically was predominantly conservative. That was back when we had five so-called conservative justices. Now, just last summer, in a Supreme Court decision, this last summer, I mean this year, 2016, there was an abortion decision regarding Texas HB 2, which just said, hey, before you perform an abortion, let's have wider hallways, and the abortionist has to have hospital admitting privileges within 30 miles of the abortion facility. Mm-hmm. And the Supreme Court, in a 5-3 decision, said that was unconstitutional, that even that requirement placed an undue burden on a woman getting an abortion. So how is a heartbeat bill ever going to pass muster with this court?
So do you think that these legislators in Ohio know this?
I don't know what, yes, well, I don't know what they're thinking, but actually...
Is it just the treadmill? Is it just being on the treadmill and being excited about being on the treadmill? They must know that this isn't going to actually be put into effect.
We're discussing this Ohio heartbeat bill that was passed by the legislature this week in the state of Ohio, but the governor has not yet signed it into law, and I'm not sure he will, and I'll tell you... The reason I don't think he'll sign it into law is, number one, turns out that Kasich, who ran for president this year as a Republican and actually went pretty far, he's the one that went the longest against Donald Trump, if I recall, or one of the longest. And Kasich, actually, I think he did go the longest. He actually supports abortion for women who are raped and who have been in an incest situation, just like George W. Bush. In other words, this guy is pro-choice. Did you hear me, listener? If you support abortion in the case of rape, that means you want to allow a woman to kill her baby because of the crimes and the sins of the father. You're pro-choice. You're not pro-life, okay? So if you're listening to this show and you, listeners, support abortion in the case of rape, you're not in conformance with Jesus Christ. You're not. You actually support a small child made in the image of God being dismembered because its father was a criminal.
That the mother could choose to do that. That's what you support. You don't support that all should be killed, but you support that a mother who is the mother of a child conceived in rape should be able to choose to have her child ripped apart.
Pretty much. Now, I'm going to explain why I think Ohio passed this bill after we had just said, by the way, the Eighth Circuit Federal Court of Appeals. So we were talking before the break about North Dakota and Arkansas having passed heartbeat bills before, just like Ohio's. North Dakota's was exactly the same as Ohio's. It was 6 weeks. Arkansas's was a 12-week bill. So it is understood that Ohio literally just passed the very same thing that has already been reviewed in North Dakota. Now, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, and Ohio is in the Sixth Circuit. They're not in the Eighth. So they would go before a different appeals court. But remember, they're all going to have the same mindedness on these federal courts. The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, it went before a three-judge panel when it was appealed by North Dakota and Arkansas, and they were all Republican-appointed judges on the three-judge panel.
So when we put our hope in Republican judges, would you say that that's a misplaced hope?
Yes, and that's a real significant point that I'm trying to get across to you, listener. Republican judges are no better than Democratic appointees. In fact, in some cases, Democrats have been better than Republicans. Of the last 17 Supreme Court justices, 13 of them have been appointed by Republicans, yet we are 44 years into the abortion holocaust. Understand, when Roe v. Wade was decided in 1973, it was predominantly a Republican-appointed court. It always has been in our entire lifetime and in the entire abortion holocaust. And the presidents at the time of the Supreme Court decision, Roe v. Wade, it was Richard Nixon, and he was a Republican appointee, and he never even issued an opinion, his own personal opinion about Roe v. Wade publicly, ever. And so it is a false hope. Now, Arlene, you asked me before the break, why did Ohio do this? It's because, and they've announced, the reason we did this is we got emboldened because of Trump's election. And we think that Trump is going to change the makeup of the Supreme Court. Did you just hear what I said, listener? 13 of the last 17 justices on the U.S. Supreme Court were Republican appointees.
Well, how many currently could we expect to vote righteously, and how many appointees can Trump even possibly make?
Okay, so this is a good question. So Trump's going to get one right out of the starting gate, because you may remember Scalia died earlier this year. And Obama was going to appoint a Supreme Court justice, and he appointed Merrick Garland, and the Congress refused to consider his appointment. So Trump gets one right away. But let's look at who on the court right now has actually ever rendered an opinion that said that they thought that Planned Parenthood versus Casey and Roe v. Wade were unconstitutional. And guess how many there are? Now, you would think, with four so-called conservatives and a swing vote on the Supreme Court right now, because that's generally how it's viewed right now, you would think that there would be four who might consider Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey to be unconstitutional. But guess what? We can actually go look at their decisions and their opinions, because when a Supreme Court issues an opinion, like let's say they vote on a case and it's 5-4, they'll have a justice write the majority opinion. That is the opinion of the court. And then they'll have dissents. They'll have those who voted against the majority opinion. They'll decide, hey, maybe I'm going to write a dissent. And then other justices get the opportunity to join them in their dissent. So they'll give a reason why they dissented. We don't like this, this, or this. And then if another justice says, hey, I agree with him, he'll join in his dissent. Well, back in 2007, there was a case before the United States Supreme Court. It was called Gonzalez versus Carhart, Leroy Carhart, a well-known late-term abortionist. And Gonzalez was the attorney general of one of the states. And this case in 2007, You already had on the court John Roberts and Samuel Alito, two George W. Bush appointees. Now, when John Roberts sat before the Congress, he said, I absolutely am not going to undo Roe v. Wade. This was his testimony because he says it's stare decisis, it's established precedent, and we're not going to undo precedent. Basically, he refused to say I'd overturn Roe v. Wade. Samuel Alito was essentially the same thing. But we had this opportunity in Gonzalez versus Carhart, which, by the way, was ruled unrighteously in essence. So in the dissent, you had the conservatives that were in the so-called conservatives were in the minority. In other words, whatever Gonzalez versus Carhart was trying to, the abortion, it was, believe it or not, partial birth. It had to do with the type of partial birth abortion. And in the dissent, Clarence Thomas said, and he wrote literally like a very short paragraph of dissent, and he said that he thought Clarence Thomas, a Supreme Court justice, a conservative, thought that Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey were unconstitutional. Nobody joined him in his dissent. Nobody. All Alito had to do was join him in that little brief paragraph of dissent. All John Roberts had to do was join him in that little brief paragraph in dissent. And let us remember, this past summer's decision on HB2 was 5-3 on a supposedly split conservative versus liberal Supreme Court. In other words, at this moment, you only have one actual justice on the United States Supreme Court who believes that Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey were unconstitutional. And he has never even talked about it from, if you read his opinions like in Stenberg versus Carhart in the year 2000, he doesn't even talk about it in terms of the rights of the preborn.
We really get an opportunity to see why they say what they say when we read these opinions.
He only talks about it from the perspective of the rights of mothers. And that is where we have grossly erred. In every abortion, there's multiple parties involved, but the most significant party involved is the true victim of the abortion. It is the image bearer of God that is being dismembered and destroyed. It is the baby. It is a crime being perpetrated on the baby by mothers and abortionists and fathers and grandmothers, whoever's participating in urging this thing to happen and paying for this thing to happen. The baby is the victim of abortion. It's just like any murder victim. There's only one victim. Mothers are not the victims of abortion. And that is the big thing. Mothers are not the victims of abortion.
So I noticed in this HB 493 from Ohio that in section 2919.198, they have this clause there that the woman, even if she were to violate this, couldn't ever have any criminal penalties against her.
It's typical. It says a pregnant woman on whom an abortion is performed or induced in violation of the rest of this bill. Basically, it says she is not guilty of violating any of those sections, is not guilty of attempting to commit, conspiring to commit, or complicity in committing a violation of any of those sections, and is not subject to a civil penalty based on the abortion being performed or induced in violation of any of those sections. And so you've got that layer of complication that runs throughout. What the problem, the reason we're not slaying the abortion holocaust and getting rid of it, as we're not doing it God's way. We're treating the mother like she's some hapless victim of the abortion industry, and we're trying to regulate the abortion industry, and we're trying to comply with these evil and wicked lawyers on these federal courts that were appointed by Republican appointees who that are Republican politicians who they themselves are evil because they actually support the dismemberment of small human beings in the womb, like John Kasich and like George W. Bush and like Donald Trump, who, just like George W. Bush and just like John Kasich, believes that a woman has the right to get an abortion if she's been raped. Do you not understand, Christian? I don't even know what we can say anymore in this program. Do you not understand? But I know how we can end this. We got 3 minutes and we can end this to show you, Arlene, you're going to read legislation, what actually is righteous legislation that we are circulating as an initiative petition right here in the state of Idaho. And you can go to abolishabortionid.com. And this is what we want our state legislators to also introduce to the Idaho legislative session next month in January. This is righteous legislation. And this does not attempt to work within the confines of the United States Supreme Court precedent or any other federal or state court like the Idaho Supreme Court. This is the only way to get this done is to take the power of the legislature and the executive branch, the governor, and defy Roe v. Wade and defy Planned Parenthood versus Casey. Don't expect to operate within their confines. Courts do not run police and prisons. They are expecting Idaho to enforce their unrighteous edicts and opinions. And so when you are going to tackle the abortion beast, start from the perspective that women are the perpetrators. The way to handle abortion is to treat it like any other murder. That's the establishment of equal justice and equal protection under the law. And Arlene, do you have that legislation in front of you that we are introducing in Idaho as an initiative petition?
I do. This is our initiative prohibiting abortion and making its performance and procurement murder of the first degree.
Okay, did you catch those two critical elements, listeners? Okay. A righteous bill, an abolitionist bill, that which our state legislature should be doing is Romans 13. It's 1 Peter chapter 2. It's constitutional. Don't deprive a person of life without due process of law. Human beings are human beings from conception. They have value because they're made in the image of God. And what you have to do is you have to treat them equally. So right now we have a murder law in Idaho that says if you kill another human being, you face a very serious penalty. And so our Idaho initiative petition at abolishabortionid.com, which you can circulate and get signatures, and this can become legislation, and it is meant to defy Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey, makes mothers guilty of homicide, makes abortionists guilty of homicide. It won't be retroactive. All clinics that commit abortion will be shut down. All chemicals that cause abortion will be removed from shelves, and people will be prosecuted as murderers for killing small human beings in the womb. And that is the only way to go. Performance and procurement. So check out that initiative petition and contrast that with the Ohio Heartbeat Bill and change. It's time to change our thinking. This is the direction we need to go. It's time to abolish human abortion and not wait through yet another presidential term for a Supreme Court that will get it and never materialize. Thanks for tuning in to Abolitionist Radio. You can write us feedback at abolitionistradio.com.
Try to be a good boy, but I ain't a boy no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore. And this world gonna see what I'm standing for.
Thank you for listening to Abolitionist Radio on the Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network. To learn more, visit abolitionistradio.com and abolishhumanabortion.com.
Keep me quiet, I will break the noise. Try to beat me down, tell me to shut my mouth. But there's a time to speak, and the time is now.
The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network brings to you a complete lineup of podcasts where you will hear practical and tactical theology. Our desire is not simply that you consume our shows, but that you also live out your faith in every area of life. We can talk all day long about these things, but if we fail to put them into practice, then we fail as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, our King. Subscribe now to your favorite Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network shows. Or you can subscribe to the Reconstructionist Radio Master Feed, where all of the content we produce, including the audiobooks and audio articles, will pop up as soon as they are available. And don't forget to visit ReconstructionistRadio.com to volunteer as a narrator or to partner with this ministry financially. May the Holy Spirit stir you into action for Christ and His kingdom.